Okay, this is Myra Nissen with the North American Society of Homeopaths, and today's teleconference is on the NASH Journal, and we have a panel of presenters who are involved with the journal. We have Deborah Hayes, who we're going to refer to as Debbie, who's our editor, Julie Mann, who's our treasurer and involved with production, and Deborah Landown, who's our advertising coordinator. And I'll start off our agenda. We're going to start with the history and purpose of the journal. And Debbie, would you like to address that?
Well, I can address the purpose of the journal. I think Julie knows a little bit more about the history since she's been involved with it somewhat longer than I have, but I can certainly tell you about the purpose of the journal. So the idea of the journal is to educate and inspire and inform our homeopathic community. We have a whole bunch of potential inputs to the journal by which to do this. We love to hear from our members and other homeopaths submitting to us cases, cured cases, and materia medica issues. Philosophy, history, provings, research, and pretty much any other reflection that will be of interest and value to the homeopathic community. So the idea of the journal is it's an educational mouthpiece. Nash founded it, I believe, some 21, 22 years ago, and it's been going ever since. So we had our 20th issue a couple of years ago. So that is basically the purpose of the journal. It's inspiration and information and education for the homeopathic community. So I don't know if we want to hand over to Julie now, and she can cover some of the history.
Okay. My name is Julie Mann, and I'm the treasurer of NASH. And I haven't been on NASH since day one, but I'm starting to become very much one of the older people here, unfortunately. So one of the things that I have found out about our journal.
Maybe people can mute their phone.
Yeah, anybody? I hear somebody on a phone in the background. So
yes, you can mute your phone by pressing star 6.
Okay. So the first American Homeopath, the first NASH Journal issue was in 1994 with Constantine Herring on the cover. It was our NASH member, Greg Bedane, who is the one who created this journal. He wanted to do a journal that was more comprehensive than other journals that are around or even in the past, and he wanted a journal with in-depth interviews and provings, as well as cured cases and other information. At that time, NASH was only 4 years old, and very quickly the journal became a highly recognized journal throughout the world because it was chock full of information. He chose the name American Homeopath from a journal that was written, that was started in 1879 by Frank Kraft and Underhill, who were homeopaths at the time. And that time there was a surge in homeopathy, and there was about 140 journals out there, and they were all, I mean, everybody wanted to learn about homeopathy. When we started, you know, NASH started again in 1990, it was kind of another resurgence in homeopathy. And the American Homeopath has been on the cutting edge of what's been happening since that time. On the second volume, the next year, there was a review, and Roger Morrison, who many of you may have studied with, said about the journal, saying, with the second volume of American Homeopath, the journal has sprung into life as one of the most important journals, if not the most important journal, in the field of classical homeopathy. It is rare to find a journal where every article is worth reading, and I encourage all serious students and practitioners of homeopathy to avail themselves of this vital resource. So Greg Bedane was a homeopath who studied at Hanuman College, and he was known for his proving of raven's blood, which he's proud of. But he's very, very proud of becoming the founding editor for the American Homeopath for NASH. And he, sad to say he had passed away in 2008, and even in his death, he remembered his sad journal and bequeathed funds to the Nash Foundation to continue education in homeopathy. So he really had a passion about the journal, and hopefully we continue that passion. So that's the history I can come up with on that journal. And throughout the years, the wonderful thing is you have access to all of the journals through our website, so that there's a nice story to tell throughout the years.
This is volume 22, correct, that you're working on now?
That is correct, yeah.
Excellent.
So I'm going to pass it back to Debbie to talk about how the editorial content is selected.
Okay. So we announce a call for papers at the beginning of every year, and where we have a theme decided at that point, we announce the theme as well. So just in case you're wondering and you didn't know, the theme for this year is the foundations of homeopathy. So the theme can be decided or inspired by a number of different things. So it may be that there's something going on in homeopathy that's attracted our attention that people may want to find out more about. It may be just the general needs of the community, or it may be like this year, we were inspired by some comments made in an interview that we published last issue from Dr. Peter Fisher and Kim Elia, who were talking about what they believe to be the need to go back to the foundations and the fundamental principles of homeopathy. So we kind of fixed on this and thought, hey, we can do an issue on this. So that's our theme for this year. And so the production process starts with that initial call for papers. And we have already had a few papers come in. And those papers, when they come in, they are reviewed by a small team that comprises of myself, an assistant editor, and a few other people. If we need an expert involved, we try and find one. If we have articles on things that we don't know enough about. But usually it's a small team of people that decide on which articles are accepted. And then we start our copy editing process, which is initially done by myself and my assistant editor, Linda Morse. And we also have a wonderful team, a small team of volunteer copy editors who get involved as well. And I would like to make a request, if you are interested, if you would like to be a copy editor or a proofreader for the journal, please contact me. We're always looking for competent copy editors, and we need volunteers with that.
So, and what's the best way to contact you?
So my email address is editor@AmericanHomeopath.com. So that's an easy one to remember, editor@AmericanHomeopath.com. So once we've tidied up all the articles, and that's an ongoing process that's going on right now, and it will probably continue until June or July this year, then we send the finished articles to our wonderful typesetting man, Bob, who typesets them and sends the proofs back to us for proofreading and correction. So that, again, is quite a process, because we need to look at the formatting. We need to look at any little errors that may have crept in that we didn't pick up before. And so we go through several rounds of proofreading. And at a point in that process, Julie gets involved, and she starts to put in the ads and really finalize the layout of the journal. And then after another couple of rounds of proofreading, it heads off to the printer. And after the approval of that, the journal gets sent for printing and distribution. And that happens at the end of the year. So it's quite a process that's run by a very small team of volunteers. And we have a great time doing it. We learn a lot about homeopathy in the process. And we hope you like it too. So that's about the process of how the journal comes out.
Okay, thank you. And Julie, can you tell us about the budget for the journal and how much comes from NASH and how much from advertising?
Yes. Approximately it costs about $10,000 to produce the journal a year. And when I became treasurer, NASH was in financial straight because we had a horrible conference that they lost a lot of money on. And so when we did the journal the year I came in, we had to cut costs a lot. So we've actually, I think it used to be a lot more. So we've brought it down to approximately $10,000 a year to produce it. Now, the goal is to have advertising pay most of this stuff. Last year, we had about $8,000 in advertising and another $1,800 in journal sales and royalties. And so NASH itself had to only come up with about $300, which, and that's, remember that we have a lot of inventory still on, so there'll be future sales on that journal. So pretty much we don't spend other money on the journal. It kind of takes care of itself, and that's the goal. And it's been really nice with that kind of thing. And I think what we do need is to get more advertising into the journal so that we can pay our people a little bit have a little bit more efficiency in some of our other things that we need to do. So I think I'm very happy with the way that it does not cost NASH. NASH members, it doesn't come out of your dues, really. Even though everyone gets a free copy, it doesn't necessarily come out of the dues to pay for it. So I commend our advertising staff with Deborah, and who have done an amazing job of getting advertising in the journal, and that brings us a beautiful journal.
Yes. Yeah, so when you invest in advertising in the journal, you're investing in the journal.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Deborah, since you've been advertising coordinator for the journal, you've done some changing and expanding to the way ads are solicited and the types of ads. Would you like to explain that to us?
Sure, yeah. So thanks. I think Julie explained it really well about the budget and what my goal is to help NASH and with bringing in advertising dollars. And I always like to remind everybody that, you know, ads are a way for companies, individuals, whatever, advertisers to support the work that NASH does in getting this really nice journal out. And I love to hear the history about it. So it's really important to have support of our advertisers. And as far as your question about the different types, we have our standard, we call display ads in the journal. There are only three color spots. The covers are the only color spots, and then the rest are all black and white inside on the inside pages of the journal. And those rates haven't gone up in I don't know how long. I mean, I certainly haven't increased rates since I've been doing it. So they're very reasonable. And then we just started, in addition to the reasonable rates, I also always give discounts to nonprofits and to registered members of NASH. And then we started in the last issue doing classified ads as another option for our registered members. And this is a really inexpensive way to either promote your practice as a form of networking or if you have some homeopaths sell products in the community or have consulting services or teach or whatever. So the classified ads are really an inexpensive way. They just start at $30 to get the word out if you don't want to do a whole display ad. But the display ads start at just $225 for business card size. So those are pretty reasonable as well.
The the classifieds is a nice way for us to learn about our members, too.
Exactly. That's what I mean. It's a good tool for networking. So if I want to refer, you know, I'm on the West Coast. If I want to refer to the Midwest or East Coast, and, you know, we're advertising our practices or what we specialize in, it's there in the journal for everyone to see, anyone who buys the journal, really. So, and the other nice thing about the ads is because this is we're still doing print or it's going to be downloaded off the website, that and this is a really a reference tool that people keep on the shelf, so the ads have a nice life. You know, when you open that journal to look at the proving several years later, you know, you're going to see the ads again. So it's a nice resource to have for advertisers as well. So, and as far as my schedule, I'm going to be mailing out media kits in a week or so. And we ask for commitments. Advertisers have till the end of July to sign up and pay for ads, and then all this information is also available on our website. So all the ad rates, my contact information, the sizes, and a little, you know, bit of information about advertising with us. So that's pretty much all I wanted to say, unless you have anything else you want me to add, Myra?
I can't think of anything. Does anyone out there have any questions? If you want to if your phone is muted and you want to unmute it, you just press *6 again. So no questions? Okay. So we have various levels of membership. And Julie, tell us which ones receive a journal.
Well, all members receive a journal, students, associates, and our registered members. I think even our friends of, do our friends, I'm not sure if our friends of the homeopath receive a journal, but the best deal in town is the student membership, which is $55, and you get a $50 journal, so it's kind of a wonderful investment. The other way is if you're not a member or if you just want to collect you know, journals, is you can subscribe to the journal. You can do 1, 3, and 5 year subscriptions. And you can also buy the past journals, which are, all of this is available on the website, which is www.homeopathy.org, and you press the journal button, and then you press purchase journals, and you will see everything available right on that page. The nice thing that you can also do is instead of buying the actual journal, you can download the journal, which gives you something in your computer that you can actually search. So it's a nice research tool as well. So those are the past journals are anything from $25 to $50, depending on what year they were made. So that is that's why it's a wonderful part of benefit of your membership that to get this journal.
So we're trying something new this year, and we're having artists submit artwork for covers. Debbie, you want to talk about that a little bit? That's exciting for me.
Sure. I mean, so this is absolutely, it's a new venture. I mean, you may have noticed that in the last few years, if you've been a long-term member or reader of the journal, that the covers have changed. So traditionally, back from the beginning, the journal covers featured a historical homeopathic practitioner, doctor, lay practitioner, and that went on for very many years. And eventually we discovered that good photos that would reproduce well of historical homeopaths were getting to be a little hard to find. So we started using other photographs, The last two issues have been generously provided by a member who also happens to be a professional photographer, Kathleen Cowan. But we figured that it might be a wonderful idea, in the same way that we asked for article submissions, to ask for some submissions for the cover art. And I am delighted to say that we've had quite a few submissions already, and we would welcome a whole bunch of people. Basically, if you wish to submit art, and that can be a photograph, it can be digital art, it can be a painting that you take a picture of, a photo of, it can even be a 3D piece, like a piece of sculpture, if you want to take a photograph of that, and just send it to me, editor@AmericanHomeopath.com. And we will have a little team of art enthusiasts who will make the decision. We'll have two winners, one to go on the cover and one to be featured inside the journal. And we would welcome any submissions. If anybody has any questions, just please contact me. The deadline for that is it's in May the 31st. So the other thing I'd like to let you know is that the winning pieces will be auctioned later in the year. And the proceeds from that will go to support the National Health Freedom Coalition, which supports the freedom of all Americans to choose whatever health care they wish, including homeopathy.
Great, thank you.
Anybody with any art to submit, please, you know, send it to me.
And we're looking forward to that process.
Yes, we are. It's going to be very interesting, very fun.
So the last thing I'd like to talk about is our journal project. And this came about because now we have 22 journals. We still have maybe, I think, 30 sets or maybe less than 30 sets, complete sets of all the journals. And we're looking to place those journals in worthy libraries, someplace where they would be seen, kept and seen by homeopaths for decades. We've donated a set, and we're giving these to free. We just asked for help with the shipping cost, but even when we had a library that couldn't cover the shipping cost, we had a donor, an anonymous donor, come in and offer to pay for the shipping. So that was really great. So we have a set at Remedia, which has an extensive homeopathic library, and they're in Austria. That's the pharmacy in Austria. We have a set at Helios Pharmacy in the UK, and we have a set at the UCSF, University of California, San Francisco Medical Library, and we have a set at the new Boron Library. What's the name of that? That's not really the name of it. The one in Philadelphia.
It's a Nice Wander Library.
Yes. So we have a set there. And all you have to do is contact the main email or phone number at NASH and say you want a set for your library and give us a little information about where it is and how it'll be used, and we'll ship off a set to you until they're gone. So this is a limited offer. So do we have any questions? Any final statements?
Myra, this is Deborah Landau. I just wanted to make one more statement about advertisers and just say on our recording, so it's official, that we really appreciate all the support from our advertisers, and like I said, this is a nice way to support the community so we can get this journal out. So, yeah, just we really appreciate everything that our advertisers do for us.
Thank you, Deborah. That's true.
So
did
I'd
we cover
like to add,
the?
Go ahead.
Sorry, this is Debbie Hayes. So I would just like to encourage anybody who is even considering writing an article to just put it down in type and consider sending it to us, because we welcome articles from all kinds of homeopathic practitioners, as long as they are kind of holding to classical principles such as NASH support. So we would love to hear from you. Even if you've never written before, we can help you. We can help you knock your article into shape. So if you have a great case, a cured case, if you have some materia medica insights, if you have some kind of philosophical reflections or historical perspective, then please get in touch. Just if you want, have any questions, get in touch with me. There is a page about journal submissions on the NASH website. So if you go to Journal Submission Guidelines in a drop-down menu from there, it will tell you what the requirements are and how you should lay things out, how you should refer to remedies and so on. And obviously, if you have any questions, just please get in touch with me, editor@AmericanHomeopath.com.
Thank you. Oh, Deborah, if someone's interested in advertising, how should they contact you?
Right. Well, the best way is email, and that's advertising@AmericanHomeopath.com. And that all the information and my contact info is on the NASH website, and you go on the pull-down menu under Journal, and there's a selection for advertising. And that would have all the rates, deadlines, specifications for sizes, and everything you need to know, how to contact me. And then I, for people that haven't seen the journal before, I send out a copy of our latest journal so they know what ads would look like and sizes and all that. So we do that complimentary along with all the information in the rate card.
And there's an online version too, right, for advertising?
Right. The rate card is all on that pull-down menu under Journal on the NASH website.
Right. But don't we have a tribute to our advertisers online?
Oh, yes. That's the other thing that we forgot to mention. Yes. So for a small additional fee, we have an online option for advertisers that are already in the print version. It's just $75 additional, and you get your logo and a little blurb and a link to your company's website from the NASH website. And that stays up for a full year, so from publication date to publication date. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me about that.
Great. So, Erin, can you, now that we're on the recording, can you tell us about March's telecast? We're having two.
Yes, we are. And we've got February 23rd, that's today. We're covering that one already, but Mike Driscoll comes in March 14th at 11 a.m.
Pacific time,
Huntington Insurance. And he's going to talk about professional liability insurance and general liability insurance. That's going to cover U.S. and Canada. It'll be the policies and the general pricing and who needs it and why do we have to have it. And then March 21st, which is the Monday, and it's 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we're going to have Legal Shield. And Lisa Bass is going to explain all the field questions. They're going to provide plans for residents of U.S. and Canada. So that will be really, really interesting also.
Yeah, Legal Shield is a discounted legal service that we're offering through NASH for our members, for all our members, and for a small monthly fee, you can ask unlimited legal questions about any aspect of your life, personal and work. You can have your contracts reviewed, just it's a really good resource that we're going to offer members. We just partnered with them, I think, last month. So,
what was interesting to a lot of the students on one of the last telecasts was who was covered under the umbrella of this insurance. They thought that was fantastic. They thought it was just homeopath. They didn't know what all it encompassed. So this can be really informative.
Yeah, that's the insurance, yeah.
Right.
So I think that unless there's any last-minute questions, that concludes our telecast. So thank you for joining us. I'm going to stop the recording, and if anyone has any final questions that they don't want on the recording, that would be the time. So hang on.